Begin the current daf Maseches Milah daf Chaf. Begin on the bottom of your Tesem Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the final Mishnah of this parak discussing the parameters of the laws of Me'ilah. Says the Mishnah as follows: Natal, as we'll describe in the Gemara, it's referring to the Gizbar, the treasure of Hektish. If he takes a Evan, a stone, a Kaira, or a beam shall Hektish that belongs to Hektish. So says the Mishnah, basically, Mal, just by taking it, he has not yet committed the act of Me'ilah of misappropriating Hektish from what it's supposed to be for something else. However, as we continue to top of Chaf Manal, if Nasan Lachaveir, if he gives it to his friend, so who, the one who gave it, the Gizbar, Mal, he has committed Me'ilah, because he has now removed it from the domain of Hektish to that of his friend who is Chulin, which is mundane. And Vachaveir Le'mal, his friend is already using something that's already Chulin, so his friend has not committed the act of Me'ilah that is using it. Another halacha, B'na B'teich Beisa, going back to the original person, if he builds it in his house, Harez Le'mal, just doing that, as the Gemara will explain why, that has not yet been an act of Me'ilah. Until he dwells beneath it, he utilizes it and has benefit from that beam or that brick for a value of a pruta, then that's committing an act of Me'ilah. Another halacha, not the pruta shel hektish. If he takes a coin of hektish, so again, harizu le'mal, similarly, these older similar ideas, has not yet committed Me'ilah. Nas l'chaver, if he gives it to his friend, hu mal v'chaver l'mal, so by giving it to his friend, he's removed it from hektish l'chel, he committed Me'ilah. But his friend who uses the money now has not committed Me'ilah. Another similar halacha, nasn l'balam. If this person gives the money of hektish to the bath attendant, so afapish l'rachas, even if he didn't even bathe, mal, he has committed Me'ilah. Because the attendant tells him, the bathhouse is open in front of you. He kanes v'rechaitz, go in and bathe. You already got the benefit that it's open, even if you don't bathe, that's still committing the act of Me'ilah. Now, another halacha which we mentioned in the previous daf, achilasa v'achilas chaveira. When this person takes the value of a pruta, and then when he has benefit from it, even if he splits it among himself and someone else, his eating a half a pruta, his friend eating a half a pruta, or haniyasav anas chaveira, or his having benefit and his friend having benefit, or achilasav anias chaveira, or he eats a half a pruta and his friend has benefit from a half a pruta, or haniyasav achilas chaveira, or he has benefit from it, not in the eating way, and his friend has benefit the other half of it, of the pruta. Mitzar from Zemzeh, these all combined for him to ultimately have been the one who misappropriated that of a Shabbat pruta. And even if he's not aware of this for a long period of time, a half a pruta could combine with another half a pruta to be liable for the laws of Me'ilah. Now, going back to the opening halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara asks, Maishno, what's the difference that when he takes it, this person that we said, if he takes the Evan or the Kaira, he has not committed Me'ilah? Umaishno, why is it any different that when he gives it to Chaveri, his friend, that then that is committing an act of Me'ilah? So Amashmul, he says, because Begizba HaMesuris Lai, regarding the treasurer of Hektish, who it's given over to him, the bricks or the beams, that's what we're talking about, that when he takes it, it's still in his domain, it's still in the domain of Hektish, and like it was in the beginning. But when he gives it to his friend, then he has changed the domain from Hektish to Chayil, and therefore that's when he's committing an act of Me'ilah. Similarly, the Mishnah said, "Bena b'teich beisa." If he builds it, this gizber builds it in his house, saying the chayav chul is not going to be liable for me'ilah until he dwells beneath it. He has some type of benefit from it that worth a b'shevet pruta. That is the Gemara. Lama li'at sheyado tachteh. Why does it need to have that there was a dwelling benefit from it for a shevet pruta? But kivin d'shani, once he changed the brick where he cut it to size, or he built it in the building, mal, that itself should be a misappropriation because he has changed it when he built it. So Amarabi says, you're right, that would also be. But the halacha of the Mishnah is tomak going to shenicha pi aruba. He just put it in the skylight, intact, where he didn't build it at all. He just placed it over there in the open space. So therefore, that you didn't do anything to it to commit me'ilah until you have a benefit from it beneath it, that of a pruta. So for example, let's say he closes up the open space because it was produce beneath the skylight. Now he has benefit from it that the rain's not going to rain on it. So since it protects at least the value of a shabbat pruta, that would be committing an act of me'ilah. However, the Gemara says, but it sounds like, okay, that's how you explain the halacha of the Mishnah. But v'kibin the bani law, but it sounds like, but if there was actual building of the beam or the brick into the house, then mi'asmal, then that would be considered an act of me'ilah, even though it's now attached to the building, we would still consider it as detached, and hence it would still apply the halacha of Me'ilah, as we're inferring from the Mishnah, that, oh, what are you saying? But then, if it was built in, not like the way we said, just covering, then it would be immediately an act of Me'ilah. And then lema, let's say from the fact that we're saying that it's going to be me'il over here, even though it's attached to the house, that we consider it as detached, misayel l'rav, that should support the following teaching of Rav. Because Dama Rav said, Mishtachavil labayis astroi. If someone bows down, he worships a house, as a night of Vidazara, he makes the house forbidden, even though the house is attached to the ground. But regarding the laws of idolatry, we consider it as detached. Because if you would say it's considered attached, then the house should not become forbidden as a Vidazara. Because like the Gemara says, Vidazara daf Memhei min Aleph, the Pasuk says, Elohim al Haharim. Their gods, their Vidazara that's on the mountains, that's forbidden, but not if the mountains themselves are their Avodah. Now, if you say it's like attached to the ground, so then it's like the ground, and then it shouldn't be forbidden, because that's similar to what a mountain is. Now, if you say the same concept regarding the laws of Me'ilah, that it's like attached to the ground, then there also shouldn't be the laws of Me'ilah, because Me'ilah does not apply to something that's attached to the ground. Obviously, this supports the teaching of Rav, that you see that that although it's built into a house which is attached to the ground, we still consider it as detached, and therefore the laws of Me'ilah would apply, like we're inferring from the Halacha of the Mishnah, and therefore that's like Rav's teaching, that also for Avodah Zarah, the house would become forbidden. On that, Amar Vacha Barid Raviki says, no, really I could tell you, not necessarily like Rav. Maybe if someone bows down to the house, it does not make it forbidden, because it is like attached to the ground. And therefore here also, when someone builds in with cement a brick into the house, it's like attached. And then you're going to ask, okay, so then why would we say that there would be a law of Me'ilah? That's for a different reason. That's how Noha Niris Lanaim Asr Torah. The Torah makes forbidden the laws of Me'ilah a benefit that's obvious and seen by the eyes. So here, when the beam is built into the house, it's a visible benefit that the person is having. And therefore, that's going to be laws of Me'ilah. But you're right, in general, we would consider it attached to the ground, and therefore the laws of idolatry would not apply to make the house forbidden. But the Gemara says, okay, but let's bring a different support for Rav from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Hadar bebayis shel hekdesh. If someone dwells in the house of hekdesh, kimin shenen memenem all, once he has benefited, he has committed me'ilah. So from the fact that we see that there's me'ilah in the house, even though it's built, obviously we consider a house like detached. That supports Rav, that we're seeing that it's considered like detached, and hence, hamashtach v'labayis of Avodah Zarah would also make it asur. That Amar Shlakish, he says, no, truthfully, I could tell you that no house is like attached to the ground. And from here, you cannot support to the teaching of Rav. Now, if you're going to say, okay, then why is there me'ilah if someone dwells in the house? That's because Hasan Beshek Dishri, they were talking about with that this house of hekdesh, was that because the stones were sanctified, and that was sanctified when they were detached, they were already sanctified. And then they went and made from these bricks of hekdesh, they built a house. So since at the time that it was sanctified, it was detached, so therefore even though subsequently it gets built, and now it's attached, it's still going to retain its halacha of me'ilah, which is when it's detached. And therefore it's not a raya, but if you have a house that you're worshipping as a Avodah Zarah, that's considered like the ground, and therefore that would not make it necessarily forbidden as a Avodah Zarah. But then asked the Gemara, but Avobano Lubsevik Desha, so what are you saying? But regarding, it was first built, and then the house was sanctified, so then, and after it was already attached to the ground. So what do you want to say? That loimol, then there wouldn't be me either, because you consider like attached to the ground. But then why does the Braiser run to go and find a different case? First it's saying what there is Me'ilah, when you dwell in the house of Hekdesh. Then it says, but whereas Hadar Bebayis Shel Ma'ara Loimal, someone dwells in a house that's in the cave, that is not committing an act of Me'ilah. But why pick that case? Lema Hadar Bebayis Shel Avanim, say the same case of the Reisha, if someone dwells in a house made out of stone, Shebano Lubasevik Deisha Loimal, that if it was first built and then sanctified, that then is not Me'ilah. Why go to a different case? If you hold that Banu L'Tzifek Deishai is going to be like attached to the ground and not Me'ilah, say that case itself. So Amadei said, no, you're right. Most definitely, the Mishnah would hold that in regards to that halacha that we're quoting from the Braisa, that most definitely there would not be Me'ilah over there in the case of where it was built and then sanctified. But in spite of that, the Braisa still picked the case of a house of a cave. Why? Because Ha'psikale. The case of the cave is definitive, where there is never going to be Me'ilah. We wanted to say the contrast of when there is Me'ilah to when there's not Me'ilah. Whereas, a house of stone, loy psikale, it's not definitive, that halacha, because like we're saying, there's a difference between if it's built and then sanctified, or when it's sanctified and then built. Therefore, they didn't say that as the case that they wanted to say of when there's not going to be Me'ilah. But the truth is, it's specifically when it's sanctified and then built, that then there's going to be Me'ilah, because then it's like detached. But when it was first built and then sanctified, then it wouldn't necessarily have the halacha of Me'ila, and therefore that's not like Rav, where we don't see a riot to him that wants to say that an attached house is going to be considered like detached. Not necessarily, we could say that that would be considered attached, and the halacha of the Brice was specifically when we're saying that it was first sanctified and then it was attached, therefore it's going to have the laws of Me'ila. Which I return to the fifth parak of Masechta Zemilah, parak Hanena, which spoke about primarily this criterion of what qualifies as an act of benefit of Hekdesh to be considered an act of Me'ila. And with that, we begin the sixth parak of Masechta Zemilah, parak HaShliach Sha'asa, regarding, as the title of the parak connotes, regarding the act of Me'ila through the medium of another person. So it says the Mishnah, HaShliach Sha'asa Shlichusai, regarding an agent that does his agency, that someone sent him to do. So if it was that the owner had sent him to go ahead and do something regarding an item of Hekdesh, so Balabai Small, as we said in the previous parak in the Fitchesim Abeis, we learn that Gzeir Shav Chet from Truma, where it's considered the act of Truma of the Balabais when he sends a Shliach, so too for the act of Me'ila, misappropriation, it's the Mishaleach, the one who sent him, that's liable for the act of Me'ila. But that's only if he does the act of agency to the letter. But if he doesn't do his agency, meaning he changes from what the owner had told him, then Ashliach Mal, then it's the agent who has committed the act of misappropriation. As the Mishnah says, Ketzad Haso. Amalai, if the owner tells him, 10 basar, I want you to give this meat of Hekdesh, la'archim to the guest. V'noslam kavid, instead of giving them meat, he gives them liver. Or kavid v'noslam basar, he says, give them liver and he gives them meat. So there, the halach is, since the Shliach changed, Ashliach Mal, the Shliach committed the act of Me'ila. Now, let's say the owner tells him, tell him chaticha chaticha, give each one piece. And he tells the guests each could take two pieces. And v'heim not l'sholosh, and actually they all took three pieces. So kula malu, they're all three parties committed me'ila. The Baal Bayis committed me'ila because the agent did his agency of the one piece. The shliach and the archim also committed me'ila because each one added on one more than what was told to him from the previous party. So the shliach is for the second piece he committed me'ila, and the guests for the third piece that they had on their own. Now the Gemara continues to come and base and ask, Man Tana, who's the Tana of a Mishnah? The Chol Milsa de Mimlech Allah Shlech, that anything that the agent has to consult with the and ask from the one who sent him, if he should buy it or not, in place of what he was originally told to do. For example, let's say the owner tells him, okay, I want you to buy me meat from the marketplace. He doesn't find meat, he only finds liver. Right now, he has to go back and ask him. He says, look, you told me to buy meat. Does that mean liver too? So although liver is a type of a meat, it's from an animal too. But since he has to go ahead and ask him regarding it, the tarti mili having, that's considered like two different things. Because that's the inference from the halacha of our Mishnah. That's considered like two different things. Because the halacha of the Mishnah said that if he tells him to give them meat and he gives them liver, that the shlich is going to be committing the act of me'ila. If you have that it's considered one thing, why would the shlich be considered having committed me'ila? He did shlichus shalabais. He did what the owner had sent him. So the fact that it says that the shlich commits the me'ila, obviously because the meat and the liver are considered two different things. So who's the Tana of a Mishnah that although a person would say, hey, should I get the liver instead, that where that is on some level meat, but we consider it two different things, who's the Tana? So Rav Chizkiya says it's the Likra B'Kiva, not Likra B'Kiva. The Tana learned the Mishnah Masechtas Nedarim, which we'll shortly explain, so who is that opinion? The Mishnah says, the Tana Kama says, Hanoidim in the Yerik. If someone takes a vow prohibiting himself from any vegetables, any herbs, Mutar bedilu, and he's permitted in gourd, which is some type of a hard-shelled type of a vegetation, he's permitted in that. That's not included in yarek. But Rebbe Kiva, Yisrael Kiva says, no, it's forbidden because it is considered the same species as yarek. The Gemara in the Darm expounds on this where the Rabban said to Rebbe Kiva, but what do you mean? If someone tells his agent, buy for me a yarek, and he comes and he says, look, I didn't find yarek, I only found diluin, gourds. So obviously, that since he has to consult, obviously it's considered something else. So therefore, he should be permitted for diluin. Rebbe Kiva says, no, that's exactly where I learned out from that even though he has to consult, obviously it is considered one thing. Because would a guy come back and say, oh, I didn't find gyrakas, but I found kidneys, I found legumes, types of beans. No, he wouldn't say that. Because I didn't ask you for cheers when I asked you for vegetables. Rather than the fact that he doesn't say, I didn't find legumes, he only says, I only found gourd. Obviously, because gourd, like pumpkin, these hard types of shelled vegetables, are included in gyrakas. Even though the shliach asks, should I get that? Obviously, Rebbe Kiva holds that considered one thing. So our Mishnah says, like two things is obviously not like Rebbe Kiva. But Abayam, he says, no, Philotem Rebbe Kiva, you could even say the halacha of a Mishnah is like Rebbe Kiva. Now, the reason why, when the Shlich gives liver then instead of meat, he committed Me'ila. Well, what do you mean? It's considered the same thing. It should be the Shlich Shasa Shlichusai. No, because ultimately, he gave it to the guest on his own, with his own intention. Because Mile Boyim Luchit, doesn't he ultimately have to ask permission from the owner, should he give them the liver or not? Meaning, even if you say liver is considered meat like Rabbi Akiva, but ultimately, the owner said give meat, not liver. And since he didn't consult, he didn't get clearance from the owner, that's why the shliach committed me'ila. Because it's like he gave it on his own. But not because it's considered two different things. No, it's really one thing. But it's not what he told them to give them, and therefore, the shliach committed the act of me'ila. Now, Ki Amar Rabbani Kamei de Rava, when the rabbi said in front of Rava this interpretation of Abaya, so Amalu, he said to them, Shabbat Kamei Nachmeni, which was a reference to Abaya, he said very well with his answer, because you could even say the Loch of a Meshalach Rabbi Akiva, because ultimately he still has to go ahead and ask him, even though it's one thing, should I give this thing? Because he didn't say this thing, and therefore it could even be like Rabbi Akiva. So says the Gemara, Man Tana de Palagalad Rabbi Akiva. So who's the Tana there, Mishnah Masechtas Nadarim, that disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and holds that anything that the Shliach has to consult is considered like a different thing, like two different things? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, here's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tana, like, learn the price. Anoidim Nabasav. Someone takes a vow saying he's not having any meat. So Asa B'chal Min Nabasav is forbidden all types of meat. Vasa B'reish, B'reglaim is forbidden the head and the feet, B'kona and the trachea, B'kavit, B'leiv and the liver and the heart. Vasa B'basav is forbidden to have chicken, many types of fowl meat. U'mutu B'basav Dagim Echagam, but he's permitted to partake of the meat from fish and of grasshoppers. Shimon Malil Matir, he says, no, it is permitted, B'reish, B'reglaim, the head and the feet, B'kona and the trachea, U'bekavit and in the liver. So obviously we see that he holds that the meat and the liver are considered two different things, which was the assumption that he was the Tana of the Mishnah, which the Abaye said not necessarily so, but we see that he considers them as two different things. Uba'ifis, uba'dog, mechagav, and he's also permitted to have birds, and to have fish, and to have grasshoppers. And Mechina Mishim Lilaimer, he said, kerevayim labasarin, that intestines are not meat, which again we see that is considered as two different things. Vaychlein, and those who eat them, meaning that they buy them instead of other meat, that let's say he had a certain amount of money that he could have bought meat. And instead he leaves the meat and he buys this intestines instead. La bar in, she's not considered a person regards to relative to all other people. So again, it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who he says that since their person would have to consult, it's considered like two different things, and therefore so too in the halacha context of a nether, that's not going to be considered included in this issa of his nether. Now, parenthetically, once we introduce this brisa, the Gemara asks Ultana Kama, of this price we just quoted, what's the difference regarding for the meat of the birds, which he says is more forbidden from the nether than the meat of a fish? You'll say, Mishum Duragalinish, because a person is accustomed to go ahead and eat chicken, which and therefore it's a type of meat, and therefore it's forbidden, because the Amah, because the person says, I can't find the meat of animals. Okay, fine, I'll bring the bird, the meat of birds. If Ihachi, but it says the Gemara, if that's the reason why, that's included in the Nedda of making the meat forbidden for him. So Hachinami of it in the Shlomemra, but that's also normal for people to say, La'akachi bisru dechevasa, I didn't find the meat of animals. Vasoy dogim, so I'll bring fish instead. It's also protein. So why isn't that not included, even according to the Kama, forbidden in the Nedda of taking partaking of meat? So Amar Papa says the reason why that is permitted in fish but is forbidden in chicken is because we're talking about a specific type of a case. This person took a neder on the day of his bloodletting, where a neder is would encompass whatever is generally normally eaten for him that day. That's included in the neder. But whatever is not normally fit for a person to eat on the day that he lets blood, that's obviously would not be included in what he means to forbid for himself from the vow, like fish. People don't usually eat fish on the day of the bloodletting. So that's not including what he would normally eat. He's forbidding what he would normally eat of meat, which includes all types of meat, including chicken. Fish he wouldn't eat anyway, so that's not included in the nether, to the contrary. Therefore, it's actually permitted because not included in the nether. But Yachi, so then the Gemara says, if that's the case, then Tzifra Nami, and there's two different Gersois, as we'll quote them both, either Tzifra Nami Nechel or Tzifra Nami Loi Nechel, where then the meat of birds either is eaten, not eaten. Dama Shmuel, like Shmuel says, the Mesecher, if someone lets the blood from his shoulders, Vachal Tzipra, and eats a bird, so Parch Libe Ketzipra, so his heart flutters like a bird. So obviously you see that a person doesn't eat birds on the day that he lets blood, and therefore the vow should not be on that either, like we said for fish. Now, that's if one has the Girsa that Tzipra Nami Nechel. Now, according to the Gersois, to have the Gersa, the Tzipra Nami Loi Nechel, what it means to say is that birds also are not normally eaten on the day that he lets blood. and therefore it should not be included in the neder. And so then why is there a difference between fish and birds? Vayi Tanya, moreover, we learned this in the Braisa that says Ema Kizendam, person does not let his blood that to the partake on that day to revive himself, loyal dogim, not on fish, Vala Oifis, and not on birds. So that's the same thing as the fish, like we're asking. Vala Basam Aleich, and not on salted meat, which sat in salt for 2 days or one night, because all these things do not restore the soul. But one thing is, then why are we differentiating? If the case of Tumah is Hema Kaza, why is there a difference then between fish that is permitted and bird that is forbidden? So Elamar Papa, rather Papa says, the reason why the only thing that's forbidden is the meat of birds and not of fish is because he took the vow from meat, b'yomid de kaivin loy einei askinan. We're talking about on the day that he has having pain in his eyes. The loy achol dogim, where then a person does not eat fish because fish is harsh on the eyes, but all of the meat, even the meat of birds, a person would eat, and therefore the neder is going to encompass what's normally eaten for him, the meat of that day, which includes all meat, including that of fish, whereas it would not include what's gently harmful, which is fish, and if it's not included in the neder, and they're contrarily, therefore, the fish is actually permitted to be eaten. Now, and although the Mefarsh points out, the Gemara in the Darm says it's a mnemonic of Nun Samach Ayin, which are three letters in the Aleph base that goes near each other, which actually Nun, it refers to fish. Samach means that it heals Ayin for the eyes, that fish is beneficial, not harmful. So that says Mefarsh, that's only in the beginning of the eye ailment, when the eyes start to hurt. But at the end, then actually fish is harsh, and that's the case that we're talking about. Therefore, fish are not included in the net, and therefore fish are permitted, but the birds, says the Tanna Kamma, are like all other meat, which generally would be eaten, and therefore the neder is making those things forbidden. Now the Mishnah said, Amar Loi, if let's say the homeowner says to the shliach, to the waiter, ten lechaticha chulu, give each one piece. He gives them each two pieces, and they each take three pieces. So the Mishnah said, oh, they all committed me'ilah. So that the Gemara says, from the fact that the Mishnah says, Kulam all, they all committed Me'ila, so the inference is that the Balabais also committed Me'ila. So says the Gemara, Shema Mino, we could infer from there that obviously the time the Mishnah holds, that the agent did not uproot his agency of the owner. Obviously, that by adding on to what the owner had told him, that he still considered the agent for what he did for him. Because if that would be considered uprooting his agency because he didn't do exactly as he was told, then the homeowner should not have committed the act of me'ila. Obviously, no, he fulfilled what he told him, and he just added on to the agency. And therefore, he does his own me'ila, the shliach. Now, if that's the case, so we should resolve the question that's asked in Masechet Ksubot of Tadachesim Abeis. The Gemara there says, if someone tells his agent, go ahead and buy for me a piece of land the size of a lesach, and he buys for him the size of a kor, which is double the amount that he was told. So the Gemara asks, do we say that he's adding on to it, the mashaleach, but he has not uprooted the agency, and therefore at least the one who sent him acquires at least the amount that he did tell him, which is a lesach? Or do we say that no, he violated what he was told, and therefore he has not acquired anything? Says the Gemara, from here you should infer that it's not uprooting the shleichas, and it's just maisef, but he has fulfilled what the owner had told him. So on that, Rav Sheshi says, no, you can't resolve that from over here. Because here, the reason why the homeowner has committed me'ila is because the Amar Shlich, because the agent said to the guest, he said, take for yourself two pieces. Tol achas mitaitoi. Take one from the intention of the homeowner. V'achas mitaiti, and one from my own intention. And then they went and took another piece from their own understanding. So therefore, that's most definitely a case of addition. But he did his agents because he said this is what the homeowner wants, and that was explicitly the agency of the owner, and therefore the homeowner committed me'ila. And then if you're going to say, so then it's obviously that's why the homeowner would commit me'ila. So that's what contains some of Chafal from Manav, that no, Maudetem, what would you say, Akashli Chusay de Balabais Velo Ilam, all that? No, ultimately he uprooted the agency of the homeowner and he should not have committed me'ila. Kamash Malan, that's what I'm saying, that no, since he said, take one piece with the das of the balabayas, that's his shlichus, and therefore the homeowner committed me'ila, and again the shlich then added on his own piece, which was his act of me'ila, and then the guests went and added on their own piece, which is their act of me'ila, and therefore the Mishnah said, kula malu, therefore they all committed me'ila, but it's not a riot to the question that the Gemara asked there in Masechtes Ksubas, regarding if someone adds on, if that's over, or if that's just meisiv, because here it's not just that he's meisiv on his own das. He explicitly says what the mashleach wanted, that's the mashleach's own thing, and then that was his own thing, and therefore it's not like that case of meisiv. Here, therefore, it would be explicitly like a case of meisiv and not oivash liklusay.